Every day, thousands of hackers try to steal your crypto. But Arculus uses air-gapped technology by forming a protective barrier that insulates you from hackers and secures your crypto. Order yours at getarculus.com.
You know I'm right. Nick Durst here with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, when you hear the song, "It's Friday Then, It's Saturday Sunday What," do you think of this rising star out of Michigan that we have on the show here today with us?
As a matter of fact, I do. She is currently the in-arena host / reporter for...
Let's go!
Avalanche. I figured you would appreciate that. But unfortunately, this is the second time that we've had a Lauren from Altitude TV on the podcast. So you were not the first. You were the second. But hopefully that doesn't conflict in any way.
Hey, LG Red is like a mentor of mine. She's a great friend. Awesome at what she does. So I'm honored to be the second Lauren from Altitude on this show.
So thank you for having me. So there's something in the water there in Denver, but Lauren Gardner, a very great friend of Nick and I, and we will follow Lauren Gardner with Lauren Jabara. Lauren, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me, guys. How are you? I also love that you're wearing the Colorado Avalanche. It's like a basketball jersey, though. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
That Colorado Avalanche basketball jersey. I'm into it.
So Joe's a big hockey guy. He's actually probably saw every single Avalanche game this year because it's his job to watch the games.
It is.
He works for NHL.com. But
love it.
You know, Joe hits the clubs down the Jersey Shore in New Jersey pretty hard. and he's typically always wearing these basketball hockey jerseys, right, Joe?
That's kind of my thing. Yeah.
Is that the style out there on the Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. I'm into it. I think I could buy into it. Maybe I need to get myself one of those.
You do. You do.
I'm sure you could get it easier than Joe got it. So, you might have a hookup or two out there at the Avalanche. But,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Joe's always, you know, watching the Avalanche games, and you know, you're on the rise here, Lauren. How does it feel to you've been working hard all your career, and now you're kind of in like a prime spot here with a team that is also on the rise. How does it feel to cover a team that is, you know, every year for the next few years potentially going to be a Stanley Cup contender?
Well, first of all, thank you. That's very sweet of you to say about me and my career. Honestly, it's you know, a dream come true. Like my dream growing up and when I kind of decided that I was switching to the broadcast side, I was originally going to college for pre-med. I was a neuroscience major. And so I made that switch. You know, my dream job was to work for a regional sports network and to cover a team and be able to tell the stories of that team. And when I got the job here at 26 a couple of years ago, I was like, oh my gosh, wow, like I'm here, this is happening. And, you know, since I've gotten here, I feel like you grow every single day. You're around people who are incredible at their jobs, and they answer your questions and they mentor you and they help you along the way. And I feel like that's what I've had since I've been here. And it's absolutely a dream come true. And I'm loving it. And I'm really excited, you know, for the 21-22 Colorado Avalanche season. We'll see what happens. You know, these next 10 days, 2 weeks are going to be a little crazy to see what happens in terms of, you know, the expansion draft next Wednesday and regular draft on Friday and Saturday, and then free agency. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the Colorado Avalanche team looks like next season, but I'm really excited to cover that. It'll be my third season covering the team, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very, very impressive. So you have your Michigan roots. Joe has some Michigan roots as well, which you can get to go on. But
Joe, tell me about your Michigan roots. What are we talking about here?
All right. So I dated a girl long distance from Grand Rapids for 3 years. She grew up, she's a suburb outside of Grand Rapids, Wyoming. So I know you have Grand Rapids ties, so I figured you would, you know, appreciate that. I went to visit her last year. I got to see all around downtown Grand Rapids. I mean, it's a gorgeous city. We went by the river, went to a couple of really nice spots. And I consider myself a Lake Michigan expert now.
I love that. Did you hit up any of the microbreweries over there? That's like what they're known
for. That's the very first thing I did when we got off the plane was we hit multiple breweries that very, very first day. And there are a lot of them over there because Grand Rapids is one of the, you could say, beer capitals of the entire country. They have some of the best breweries, a lot of breweries actually. So we hit a couple as soon as I got off the plane. And then we went to Lake Michigan a couple of times. So Nick, I don't know if you've ever seen the American Pie movies, but American Pie 2 is the movie where they go to the lake.
Yeah.
And there's this, it's like the Jersey Shore there. There's this town called Grand Haven, which is the town that the American Pie 2 is based off of. And obviously, if you know American Pie, you know that that region is where they went to high school. So just.
And the best sunsets in the entire world, the absolute best sunsets.
I have a video of Grand Haven sunset by the lighthouse over there. It's gorgeous.
I bet you guys got to see Hawaii sunsets. Hawaii sunsets on their honeymoon. Pretty nice stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, so I do.
So Joe's usually our Michigan expert on this show.
Oh, I love that.
But her family, they're all State fans. So.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. No. Get yep.
That kind of leads into our question we always have to ask here. We have our Michigan guests on, which was, was it an easy decision for you? You went to University of Michigan. Maybe you applied to Michigan State. How did that decision come for you to decide where you wanted to attend college?
Yeah, so I did apply to Michigan State and got in, but I actually applied to Notre Dame. Notre Dame was my first choice, and my dad went there. Both my brothers were there, so we grew up as a Notre Dame family, and I got waitlisted there. And it kind of broke my heart when that happened, like your dream school your whole life. I remember going there and wearing like that Notre Dame mini cheerleading jersey that you wore when you're like 5 years old. You know, all the little kids that walk around with their little cheerleading jerseys, or like the little boys walk around with their little shoulder pads and helmets that they wear to the games. And growing up, that's always where I wanted to go. And I got waitlisted, and Michigan was actually my second choice. But I'm actually so grateful that that happened, because it was the best 4 years of my life. I met some great friends. I was able to explore a bunch of different like clubs and majors and that kind of thing. Like I told you, I started out as a neuroscience major and ended up finishing as a communications major. So like halfway through my junior year, I was like, organic chemistry is not really my thing. I don't know if I trust myself to be operating on someone's brain, which I don't know if you guys trust me to do that. I definitely wouldn't. My family was like, what are you doing? I don't know. So I had a conversation with my parents and they're like, what are you passionate about? And I said, sports and people. And my dad's like, what the heck? Let's give it a go. Try out the sports broadcasting thing. You've grown up in the sports world. You have two brothers. You played every sport growing up. You watched every sport growing up. You know it. He's like, try it out and we'll see what happens. And granted, I graduated in 2015. In 2019, I got my dream job. It was, kind of being in the right place at the right time. But at the same thing, it was like working my butt off and really fully committing to the goal that I set for myself. And so I don't think that would have happened if I didn't necessarily go to Michigan and have those experiences and be able to kind of try a bunch of different things out and be involved in a bunch of different clubs. I played club soccer there too, which was a really great community. So yeah, that's kind of how my decision to go to Michigan happened, because I didn't get into Notre Dame, which I know Michigan probably doesn't want to hear that. Same time, it was that.
What is Notre Dame thinking? I mean, you were preparing in high school to go to Notre Dame. You went to Notre Dame Preparatory.
I know. First 5 kids through my high school that ended up going to the University of Notre Dame, including one of my best friends. And so that was kind of tough to see. And, it was a little heart wrenching. But at the time, it's like, oh, it's the worst heartbreak of my life. I'm never going to get over it. But it's honestly like those things happen for a reason. And so you just have to remind yourself, like, hey, I didn't get in for this reason. And I'm still a Notre Dame fan, except for when they're playing Michigan. But right. I'm still a Notre Dame. I'm like a big Notre Dame fan. And obviously my brothers went there. My one brother just graduated a couple months ago. So it was really cool to still be able to be a fan of the team while getting that experience of going to University of Michigan.
Congrats. It feels almost like not a traitor. I feel like if you go to Notre Dame, Ohio State, and you grew up in Michigan, that's kind of like you become public enemy number one.
I know. Yep, I know. And I still get a lot of flack like when I go to Notre Dame games or post about Notre Dame, like when they were playing this year, obviously in the college football playoffs, I was like, go Notre Dame. And all my Michigan friends were like, get her out of here. And I'm like, sorry guys. I mean, where's Michigan at right now? So that's all I got to say.
Yeah. So the girl I used to date, she used to tell me that when you draw the line down the middle of the mitten from Lansing, everything to the east is obviously Michigan. Everything to the west is Michigan State. So I don't know if that's how it used to be for you, but you are a alumni of Michigan. You are on a long list of notable alumni who went to Michigan. But let's talk internships here, and let's talk about your first job coming out of Michigan and working for Fox Sports Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. So my first internship, actually, since I switched to communications my junior year, in between my junior and senior year, I got an internship with Channel 4 in Detroit. And then in the fall, I got an internship with Channel 7, which was the ABC affiliate. And so I was actually able to like go and cover Michigan State games and Michigan games and Detroit Lions games, and just more so be behind the scenes and do like the dirty work stuff, but be able to be involved in it. And one of my biggest mentors, Tom Leiden, who was a sports director at Channel 7 at the time, and he kind of like integrated me into the media world, which was really cool. And between him and Brad Galley, who still works for Channel 7 now, two great friends of mine and great mentors of mine. And from that, Brad Galley actually introduced me to the Detroit Red Wings, and I started doing in-arena hosting for them in the spring of my senior year. So it was like three quarters of the way into the Red Wings season. And I started doing that. And from that, I met people, you know, State Champ Sports Network. It's a high school sports show on Fox Sports Detroit. And I started doing some sidelines and stuff for them this summer right after I graduated. And then from that, I met people with the Detroit Pistons and started doing some digital hosting and then eventually in arena hosting for them too. And then from that, it's such a small industry. You guys know, you just keep meeting people, right? And so from there, I started doing some sideline for high school basketball for Fox Sports Detroit and ESPN3, Oakland University men's basketball. I started doing some radio for Intercom Radio 99.5 WYCD. It's like a country station in Detroit. And I also taught workout classes. And so it was cool because I had like, I think there's one point where I had like 10 or 12 jobs. Remember filing my taxes that year, being like, oh my God, I have so many W-2s, I need to fix this out. But it was awesome because you get experience doing so many things. I did sideline, I did in arena hosting, I did radio, I was teaching workout classes, and you just meet so many different people getting involved in so many things. And I think that's one of my biggest pieces of advice that I give to people coming up in the industry is never say no to anything, even if it seems like that's not necessarily what I want to do in the long run, because you're always going to learn something from it, and you're always going to meet people through it. And it's such a small industry, right? That you want to, I mean, but it's the same for business, you know, or it's the same for anything. Like everything is small and you meet so many people, and you'll never, I mean, it might not be the best experience if you had, but you'll always learn something from it and grow as a human because of it. And so that's really cool to be able to, you know, from all of that, I saw that there was a job opening here when LG was leaving to head out east. And, you know, I just put my name in and sent my boss, Kenny Miller, an email and was like, I'm really interested. And he got back to me and was like, awesome, we'd love to have you out for an interview. So it was really cool to be able to have that and grow in all those areas. And that eventually got me here.
Well, I guess that's it, Joe. Lauren, walk us through her career. We got nothing else.
Oh my God, done. No, I have to elaborate on more. I'm sorry. That was
like, we're kidding. No, but you like you said, really you did everything. You know, you never say no. You're taking all these opportunities, and really, you flew through here real quick. You're doing all different things. You're doing United Shore professional baseball.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that too.
Gaming, you know, you said you're doing the instructor stuff with the workout classes. If you're doing radio, you know, I guess with the radio, how was it doing country music? And the biggest differences for you between television and radio?
Yeah, the radio thing for me, I kind of liked it just because like on TV, you have to focus on obviously what you're saying, how you look, what you're wearing, your voice, your cadence. But when you're on radio, all you're focusing on is your voice and cadence and what you're saying. And so I feel like that really helped me grow in terms of like, I used to talk like this, like a little mousy you know, so it really helped me grow in terms of like standing up tall and speaking, you know, and enunciating words. And I don't know, I really liked it. And then also being able to do the country music thing, I met like Dierks Bentley, I met Lady Annabelle, like I met some cool people through it too, Darius Rucker. And so it was a really awesome experience because, you know, covering sports, it's like, it's just different than covering music. And so it was cool to have that, you know, dichotomy of being able to do both.
So we asked this question to a lot of people who come on and it's pretty 50-50. A lot of people are really good at speaking on their own behalf. A lot of people are not. A lot of people don't want to deal with the conversations that come along in terms of money and negotiations and stuff like that. So we're going to ask you about the agent. Did you have an agent when you were working in Detroit, Grand Rapids? Do you have an agent now? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I did have an agent back when I was in Detroit. I signed in 2018 with an agent. And I'm like a control freak, so I like doing a lot of things myself too. So I was actually sending, like he got me quite a few interviews, but at the same time I was actually sending out quite a few emails of my own to executive producers and coordinating producers at different regional networks, even if they didn't have openings, just to see like, hey, you know, sometimes like the agent side can be a little bit impersonal, right? And so I wanted to make it more personal. So if he sent my stuff to somebody, then I would follow up and send my own email to that person. And with Kenny, my boss here at Altitude, I kind of just shot him an email in the dark back in, I think it was fall of 2018, when I saw the Nuggets job was open. And he said, actually, we filled our Nuggets role. Really love your stuff. Let's reconnect if something ever opens. And he actually reached back out to me in January of 2019 and said, hey, we might have an opening. Well, I came out for an interview in beginning of March, and then I started April 1st of that same year. So it was a quick, like 2-3 week turnaround after they offered me the job. And my agent at the time helped negotiate my contract, which I knew nothing about that. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So he did that. And since then we've kind of parted ways just because I was comfortable here and I wasn't really looking and my contract with him was done. And so that was that at the time. And so I went agentless for a couple of years and I was comfortable here, right? And so just recently I actually signed with ICM Partners. And so I am represented again. And I really love it because they work as like a team of agents. It's not just like agents at the same agency competing against each other. I really like that they all work together as a team for the common good of me and their other clients. And so that's what really attracted me to them. So I signed with them a few weeks ago and I've really loved my experience so far. I think that, you know, my goal now is to be national. I want to be a national host or national reporter. And I'm not really picky to a certain sport. I love hockey. I also love football. I love basketball and baseball. So, you know, I also love golf. I mean, so, you know, doing any of those would be awesome eventually. But I have another year here on my contract. And so I love that. But in terms of the agent, it's nice to, you know, have somebody that's fighting for you behind the scenes and knows about those job openings. I would just say take the time to shop around and kind of see what agent fits best with you in your career and what agent's going to work the hardest for you. Because it's, I thought of it as I want it to be like a marriage, a relationship. Like you want to be able to do it and have an open and honest conversation and converse often. And I think that that's super important. So make sure to take your time like going around and having conversations with different agencies and different agents, just to make sure when you find the one that's the right fit for you, you know, it's the one that's the right fit for you. But I would say I'm supportive of having an agent because it's really nice to have someone working for you when maybe, you know, you're doing your job and they're doing their job of trying to find you more jobs. So it's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a tremendous resource to use.
Never burn bridges, right? And make sure they always have those good relationships.
No doubt about it. And relationships are key. So obviously you come in to Altitude, replacing LG Red, who moved to Secaucus to come work with me and others on a change up on the zone. And pretty soon you'll be following her footsteps to Secaucus as well. But when did you two speak with each other and what advice did she give you about that role that you took over?
Don't mind me, just sneaking out to go to Kohl's. The home deals right now, they're too good to pass up. Like up to 40% off Cuddle Duds bedding, up to 50% off the cutest fall decor, and up to 25% off Ninja kitchen appliances. How can I resist? You can even get 15% off or 15, 20, or 30% off with a Kohl's card. So yeah, I'm going all in for fall, and I can't even wait. Select styles. Offers end October 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Been thinking about McDonald's all day. Can't get it off my mind. I can already taste it. Ooh, got my mind on my mouth and my mouth ready for some Mickey D's deal.
There's a deal for every moment at McDonald's.
Right now, get two of your favorites for just $3.50. Mix and match a classic McChicken, a hot and spicy McChicken, or a juicy McDouble. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So I first met Lauren when I came out for my interview. It was March 4th of 2019. And she was so awesome. We like went to dinner the night before with my boss and our coordinating producer at the time. And it was the four of us and we were just having a really good time. And then the next day, I kind of did like a whole day thing. I met with coffee and then I met with the Colorado Rapids staff. And then I, you know, went to Ab's morning skate and then I had lunch. And then it was like a whole day with my boss and kind of meeting a bunch of different people. And then before the game, I did a little on-camera thing on the altitude set. And then I kind of got to shadow Lauren around for a little while, which was really cool because she's phenomenal at what she does. So talented, so personable. And, you know, I aspire to be like her. And so it was really cool being able to see that. And then, you know, I was just talking to her about what goes into the role and what are the expectations and, you know, everything behind it of the people we work with. And she was kind of giving me the rundown and everything. And she's like, Lauren, this is such an awesome spot. Like you would love it here. And I'm like, well, I really hope they offer me the job. Fingers crossed. A couple of weeks later, they came back and offered me the job. And then 2 weeks after that, I was moving out here. So it was a really quick turnaround. But even since then, like LG and I have stayed super close and we talk on the phone probably, you know, once a month, once every few months. And she's a mentor to me. She's a great friend and like someone I definitely look up to industry. So it's been really cool to see how this industry has brought people together. And LG Red and LG, we call ourselves LG and LJ, kind of like has a little ring to it. And it's really cool to see the friendship that's formed through, you know, the industry in general.
The Laurens have to stick together. And I think Joe, it must have been an easy transition for the producers, directors, and the play-by-play and color commentary. Yeah. Because it's just like, right. Hey, we'll continue to throw it down to Lauren.
I know they never messed up on the name. Sometimes they'll be like LG, something we'll set it down to LG. I'm like, guys, it's LJ. It's close. Yeah,
I don't know anybody that calls Lauren Gardner Lauren. I think
everybody I know.
Calls
it's LG. Oh, yeah. LG Red.
Exactly. LG Red. I know. I call her LG Red too sometimes.
That's all I do.
Oh, she's awesome.
So I want to ask about working with the Altitude TV staff, because like Nick alluded to at the top, I do work for NHL.com. I've been a seasonal employee there and doing stuff in different capacity for the better part of 5 years. I started in 2016 as an editorial guy, and then I moved to video a couple years later. I also worked for MLB.com, recently left that job, but Nick and I have those connections to Secaucus. But you know, working for NHL.com, when you're doing 2, 3, 4 games a night, you get to look and you get to watch a lot of different broadcasts around the country. And from my perspective, and this is no bias whatsoever to you and LG, because I've been watching you two for a really long time. I personally think the two best broadcasts in the whole country are NESN with the Bruins and Altitude TV with the Avalanche and the other Colorado sports. So I think you guys do a remarkable job. I watch your broadcasts all the time. I think Mark Mose is the best play-by-play guy in the business, period. I think he's unbelievable. Some of my favorite calls, back when we used to go into the office before the pandemic, we would always used to yell, Nathan, Matt!
Kidding.
But just describe working with those people, because they are all very exceptionally talented and very good at what they do.
Well, first of all, that is so sweet. So thank you for saying that. Like, truly, you know, that's what we worked for. We want to be entertaining and at the same time tell the stories of the team. And so that's really cool that, you know, you think that. So thank you for saying that. Working with those guys is an absolute dream. Like, I've never been in a place where I really feel like everyone I work with is a family. Mosier is like my dad and brother, brother and best friend all in one. And same with Peter McNabb, same with Connor McGahee, Kyle Keefe, Mark Rycroft, like all of those guys that are on camera, like we are really so tight knit, and it's not fake for TV. It's like, we really are so close. And so coming in here and, you know, being able to be accepted by them right away, because I know how loved LG was. And I felt like I had some massive shoes to fill, which I did. And coming in here and not only like having her being supportive, you know, personally, and then also on social media too, and really pumping my tires a little bit, which is awesome. And then also having guys like Mark Mosier and Connor McGahee and Kyle Keefe, Peter McNabb, Mark Rycroft, like take me in under their wing right away and help me, you know, mold into the broadcast and mold into the storytelling, was, I mean, it's just indescribable. It was amazing to have them be able to do that. And it made me feel comfortable right away because I was so nervous. It was like my first real TV job where I'm like covering a team day in and day out. And I was so nervous. I mean, my palms were sweaty, knees weak, arms.
There's that, the 8 mile again.
I know, I had to take back to my Detroit route. But really working with them is, it's absolutely incredible. And I couldn't ask for better coworkers and friends, family. I feel like I have them all in one. So yeah, I love them. They're the best. They're literally the absolute best.
Now, you know, you're in the arena. So I always ask this question to everybody. Joe knows where I'm
I know exactly what you're
talking about. My favorite questions here. I got to know, you know, what are you eating pregame? What are you snacking on during the game? You know, are you drinking? Are you trying not to drink because you don't want to go to the bathroom? You have bladder control. What are you doing if there's going to be overtime? What's your food and beverage intake throughout the day?
Yeah, so throughout the day, usually in the morning, I'll eat a protein bar before morning skate. And then I go to morning skate, do my stuff there, come home and work out really quick. I'll usually make like a turkey and cheese sandwich for lunch. I am like a creature of habit. So I'll have a turkey and cheese sandwich for lunch, you know, some veggies on the side, just cause like, I want to feel good, you know? So I do that. And then I show up to work around 4 PM. We have our little pregame meeting and I'll eat the medium meal, or at least some of it, like a little bit of a salad. But my coworkers say that I eat so much. Like they always say I'm starving, because I am. I'm like 24/7, like eating like every 2 hours. So I'll always eat right before we go on air for pregame around like 5 o'clock. We go on pregame at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock game. And then during the game, I just drink a ton of water. And I also love 5-hour energies and I love Celsius energy drinks. And so I drink quite a bit of that as well. And then in between periods, I always do interviews with the players. After that, I usually snack on like some Tostitos or like some salty snack treat of some kind. Yeah. And then I do that in between each period just to keep my blood sugar level up. You know, I need to have a little bit of energy. I usually snack in between periods. And then post game, I'll always come home and it's not the healthiest thing, but I take Tostitos and I put some cheese on them and I melt it in the microwave. It's my hillbilly nachos that all my friends know. I do the same thing. Like after a night of drinking, I'll come back and make, they're like, Lauren, you make your nachos. I'm like, it's literally just cheese on chips that I put them in the microwave for 30 seconds and call it nachos. And it's like, but it's the best tasting thing after games. So that's what I do most of the time. It's not the healthiest. I'm not proud of it. You know?
That sounds incredible. I know Joe's pounding monsters every 10 minutes. So I mean, he's all about the energy drinks, but that's when you're at
home. Those are way worse. Those are terrible for you.
So you're obviously traveling a lot.
Yes.
Maybe not this year as much, but which arena has the best press food outside of your home arena?
I was going to say Little Caesars Arena. Obviously, I spent a lot
of time there
because obviously I was working for the Pistons in the Red Wings time.
Do they have Little Caesars pizza available?
Be precious. the freshest Little Caesars pizza available. And I'm telling you guys, it is deep dish, but when I say deep, like Detroit style pizza, it's not like the Chicago style where it's like lasagna and they call it pizza. It is thick bread and it's square and they cut it into four pieces. And so you got the crispy edges, like all four pieces are corner pieces, and it's thick bread and the cheese and the grease and the tomatoes, the pepperonis. It's unreal. So like at Little Caesars Arena, their media food, they have like the healthy, they have a salad bar, and then they have like the healthy, like whatever it is, like grilled chicken or a fish and like the veggies. And then you walk a little bit past that because you need to get a drink, right? You guys call it soda or pop? I call it pop.
That's a Midwest thing.
Exactly. So you have to walk past what I call the kiddie section. They got the chicken tenders. They got the mac and cheese.
They got the pizza.
But I'm like, you're thirsty. You have to go get a water or a pop, and you have to walk past it anyways. I'm like, well, might as well just chicken tender, mac and cheese, pizza. You know what I mean? Like, you can't help yourself. So every single time we go there, which for me, it was only once, obviously, in 2019, because we only played the Red Wings once at Little Caesars Arena, but I stocked up the mac and cheese, the chicken. I felt like Napoleon Dynamite. I'm like stuffing the tots in my pocket. Like, don't touch my tots. But I had to get it my fix in because I spent so much time there, you know, early in my career. So I would say they have best media food.
Nick, she's only used to Midwest pizza. She's only used to that stuff. She doesn't know the real pizza. She doesn't know where to get real pizza.
Come to the Big Apple, Staten Island.
Okay, New York style pizza is actually very good. And when we went there, we stayed like really close to One World Trade Center. And there's this like little corner pizza lot. I mean, that's how they all are, right? They're all kind of like little holes in the walls.
Manhattan.
I went there every single night for 5 nights. It was really good.
Now that the Manhattan, you know, and we're from Staten Island, which is a suburb, a borough of New York City, Manhattan, which actually has the best pizza in the world. It's been voted. But if you're in Manhattan, you know, you got to be careful because they try to rip you off from there. So you got to go to the 99-cent slice places. You get a whole pie for $8. That's the best. And there's also some specialty places, which Joe likes, like artichoke pizza, depending on, you know, what your palate's wanting. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful there in Manhattan next time you're at MSG potentially when, you know, they're playing the Islanders on Long Island. I don't know where you guys would stay, but you got to be careful sometimes. Yeah. 99-cent pizza, you can't beat it in Manhattan.
99-cent. I need to look for this next time because I think I paid at least $3.99.
Brutal.
Oh no, breaking
it's
the
called, it, and most of the places will be called 99-cent pizza. That'll be what it'll say.
We'll give you better recommendations.
Yes, please. 99-cent
pizza is really good, but we know a couple of really good spots that you'll be able to hopefully with if everything goes well with the 82 game schedule next year and all the travel remains the same. And
I mean, we're looking at an Avalanche Rangers Stanley Cup next year, Joe. So could
I'm gonna be very torn.
Oh man, and you're gonna have to wear like double jersey. You're gonna have to put on the abs and the
Rangers. I do have one of the companies here, the Rangers like support companies, like the fan groups. They recently came out with the Lady Liberty jersey, which was very much like this. So
that's awesome. How many basketball style hockey sweaters do you have?
4.
Wow.
I have the 90s Mighty Ducks logo.
Okay.
I have the 90s Phoenix Coyotes logo with the Kachina. Yep. I have this one. I was going to get the regular jersey, but my friend, my coworker, was like, you got to get this one because this logo is awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
I recently got the Lady Liberty one. So I think the plan is that I'm just eventually going to buy something for all 32 teams.
You need to. I feel like next
do not get a Devils or Islanders or Pittsburgh Penguins or Philadelphia Flyers basketball jersey. Yeah.
I feel like you need to get on the Seattle Kraken one though, because their logo is pretty sick.
Yeah, their logo is pretty sweet.
It is.
Really, really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's going to be all on the Kraken, no doubt about it. And we'll see with the draft. Now, the other question we ask all of our guests.
Yes.
Only when we know you've had a personal interaction with this guy. He comes up on every episode somehow. He knows all of our guests. It's wild. Your thoughts on the workhorse, Adnan Virk. The guy is just doing every single job in the business. And it's unfortunate because no one else can get a gig because he's taking them all.
He is so awesome. I love him so much. Like truly such a great human being. So talented. It actually is amazing how much he knows about everything. Because I feel like it's really easy to be an expert at one thing. It's really tough to be an expert at everything. So I just got to pump his tires a little bit, Adnan. I love you. I think you're phenomenal at what you do. Keep up the good work. But he's also a friend of mine too. And he's a great, you know, human being to be able to talk to and learn from and watch. And just keep up the great work. He's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. It's so much fun.
Yes, he is very awesome. He is a very dear friend of Nick and I, and he is incredibly supportive. A lot of the reasons why we've been able to have a lot of really tremendous guests is because of his help. He is so unselfish, and obviously he comes up mostly all the time, and you could extend it out to LG Red. She is a terrific friend of ours, so Nick and I are so appreciative. I have one last question for you.
Yeah, bring it on.
On your bio on Altitude, right, says your favorite band is Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. Bon Jovi jersey.
That's like
band.
One Direction.
One Direction.
Oh, better than awesome. One Direction, but I mean, Bon Jovi, really?
It's so funny. So growing up, it's
you were know you the like book? The Living on a Prayer girl? You were like,
oh, halfway.
There you go. There you go.
So my dad loved Bon Jovi growing up. And I remember like being 11, 12, 13 years old, him driving us to school and we would listen to Bon Jovi. It wasn't just Living on a Prayer. It was like all the songs. And it's so funny because you pick up on like little tendencies from childhood, right? And my dad would always be driving. I mean, I don't know if he was driving 10 and 2, but he was driving. And I remember he used to always like tap his wedding ring on the steering wheel to that song. And it's like, or to like any of Bon Jovi songs. And it would, I would just remember like, I'm not good at it. I can't, you know, just happy thing, but it's like those little things that you remember and they bring back fond memories from childhood, growing up, driving in the car with my dad and my brothers to school, elementary school, middle school, and having him tap his wedding ring on the steering wheel to the beat. And so Bon Jovi just brings back memories of my childhood from my dad. And it was, you know, just a really good relationship that you know, I have with my dad and my mom. And so it brings back fond memories. So I love Bon Jovi, and I can honestly sing every single song on any album, like most of the words. I know it's a skill that maybe not many people want to brag about, but I have it and we're going for it. So, I mean, I did just buy a Def Leppard shirt from Target the other day, and I only know one song that they sing. So I was like, at least like
I think
one.
Everybody song. Knows the song.
I don't know, Lauren. I thought you were going to be like a big Taylor Swift fan.
Is Taylor Swift considered a band?
No, but just, you know, an individual artist.
I mean, who would you guys say is your favorite band?
Foo Fighters.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm a big band person. I'm more of an indie.
Yeah, you're not really a rock guy.
I'm like a top 40 station, all the hits.
Okay. You know.
I also
give me some driver's license, give me some Taylor Swift. You
oh
know,
my God.
Stick to the class.
All of my best friends and my best friend's dad, like, they all love Bruce Springsteen. So.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, the Bon Jovi, the Jersey thing.
Bruce Springsteen, yeah. Horrible. I once was at my wife and I had to go to like some event for her work at Radio City or something, or maybe Madison Square Garden. And all of a sudden, Bruce Springsteen came out. And I was like, we need to get out of here. Let's go. Because this guy will not shut up. And I was like, it's too late. Let's go. He's like, he doesn't even have a set list. People are just like, what do you want to play? And I was like, Bruce, calm down, Bruce.
I know. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I love it. Oh.
So, Laura, what do we got to do here to get you verified on Twitter? What do we got to
do? Help me out. Help a girl out. I mean, I don't even know. Apparently, you have to apply for it.
Yeah.
They used to do that. Not anymore, though. I don't know.
How do you do it? I don't even know.
I don't know. I guess
you have to
know somebody.
You have to email the head honchos.
I need to be in the industry for a couple more years, maybe.
Now,
we'll see what happens.
So we know you love tacos. You're also a big fan of pickles. Not together, though. What kind of pickle? What's your go-to pickle?
Kosher dill pickles, the spears. I also kind of like the mini, like, whole ones. You know, like the mini ones, but they're whole.
Yeah.
Those are really good. And then if you're having a hamburger, the dill, like, slices, Those are also good. I mean, I don't discriminate against my dill kosher, my kosher dill pickles, because I love them all, but just depends on the mood you're on. I have like 4 jars of pickles in my fridge right now, all different ones for any occasion. It's like, you might wake up one day and you're like, I want a kosher dill pickle spear, or hey, I want a mini kosher dill full pickle, or hey, maybe I'm feeling like a kosher dill pickle slice today. You know, you just got to be ready for any, I'm just always on my toes, like ready for any opportunity, any moment. Do you guys like pickles? I don't know. It's like a weird thing.
I got pickles. I got a jar of pickles. I just bought them last week. They're in my refrigerator.
Are they the dill ones or like the sweet and sour ones?
I think they are, I don't know if they're dill, but they are the kosher ones. So like they're sliced, which I don't like. I like the full, like thick ones. Like I feel like those are better, but I don't know. You get whatever you can get. You gotta just buy.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of opportunities, are we going to see you on NHL Network more next season?
I hope so. I think so. I loved doing, you know, some correspondent work for them this season. And so hopefully the Avs have another really good season next year and I'm able to be on, because it was super fun. I was on NHL Now quite a bit with Jackie Redmond and EJ. Yep. And so that was really cool to be able to have those experiences. And I love those guys too. You know, everybody at NHL MLB Network is awesome. And so anytime I get to, you know, a chance to work with them, it's incredible. So fingers crossed, that'd be awesome. We'll see what happens next season.
They are certainly terrific. You were terrific. Thank you for doing this with us. We really, really appreciate it. And what we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So if there's anything else you would like to share, or if there's anything else you would like to promote, Nick and I are going to work on getting you verified on Twitter, because we're way past overdue. But go right ahead. The floor is all yours. Thanks again, Laura.
Thank you. I just like to finish off with, you know, pieces of advice. Like my biggest things are, never burn bridges, always maintain relationships. And the biggest thing that I think I learned, I guess the two biggest things that are the most important to me is, one, always be true to yourself. I feel like in this industry, it's really easy to look at other people and be like, I want to be just like them, or I want to do this or that. And it's like, it's okay to take things from those people and learn. But at the same time, like there's only one of you, right? So make sure that you're yourself fully in any situation, because that's what's going to make you successful. And two, outwork anybody. Always give 150%, because I feel like confidence comes with being prepared, right? And so if you're prepared and over prepared, you're going to be confident in anything that you do. So over prepare, be yourself, and maintain connections, never burn bridges. 3 biggest pieces of advice that I've taken throughout my career, and they've worked for me so far. So I like sharing that and putting that along with people who are up and coming in the industry as well.
Fantastic.
And thank you guys for having me, because I really loved, like, this has been so much fun.
Oh, we appreciate you having on. Appreciate really you coming out with us. Had a good time. Good interview and great advice to end it off with. So we appreciate your time here. So that's going to do it here for this episode of You Know I'm Right. For our special guest, Lauren, for my co-host, Joe, I am Nick. And this has been You Know I'm Right.
Hear that? That's the sound of someone trying to steal your crypto. Every day, thousands of hackers online are doing the same. That's why Arculus uses air-gapped cold storage technology to protect your assets. Using our keycard and wallet app to form a protective barrier, Arculus insulates you from hackers and puts control of your digital assets back in your hands. Order the first truly air-gapped crypto wallet at getarculus.com.